Happy Mother's Day. I'm Taylor, and I am so stoked that you are joining us for Upper Room online today. We're loving all the testimonies of how God is using these online services to change lives. We would love for you to share your stories with us as well. Feel free to share today's message and comment what God is speaking to you. We hope that you will take time to connect with us. To get connected, request prayer, or to give a financial donation, please visit our website or follow the link on this video. We look forward to connecting with you. While for most today is a joyful day, we also know that it's not a time of celebration for everyone. We want you to know that we are praying for you and are believing for God to minister to you exactly what you have in need of today. Remember, our God sees you and He loves you. Now, grab your pen and something to write on and settle in for a time of worship and study in God's Word. We love you.
Hey, Upper Room, thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Caitlin Pooley, and I have the joy of being married to our pastor, Nathan, and I'm excited to share with you on this Mother's Day. Before we jump in today, I just want to give a shout out to all the women out there. Whether you're a mom to a biological child, or are you mom an adopted child, or whether you're just a mother figure, I want you to feel loved and celebrated today. We are so grateful for what you do. You are raising up the next generation, and so what you do is so incredible, and we just want you to feel loved and celebrated today. So why don't you do this? If you've got a woman in the room with you watching right now, just go over and give them a great big hug, or maybe if you're social distancing, give them some air love. Make sure that they feel loved and celebrated today. From all of us at Upper Room Church, we love you and we are so thankful to have you in our lives. Today, with it being Mother's Day, I want to share a message with you on preparing the way. You know, we spend so much of our days in preparation, so much time preparing for things. You know, we wake up in the mornings and we start preparing for the day. If you're a woman, you probably put a little bit more into your physical preparation. Maybe you have a morning routine and you work out and then you have your coffee and your quiet time. And then you prepare for the day ahead. You prepare for work. And when you get to work, you're preparing for the meetings or the proposal. You're preparing all day long. You get home, you prepare dinner, you prepare the kids for bed, you prepare the next day for what's gonna happen. And we spend so much time preparing, and I like to be prepared. I don't like to walk into things not being prepared. I like to be prepared when we go on vacation. Pastor Nathan kind of threw me under the bus last week when he said that he can go on a 2-week vacation with nothing but a backpack, and I'm a little different. But I used to not be that way. I used to be able to do that too. And then we had this thing called a child, and Asa took my preparation to a whole nother level. When you have a child, it really does change everything. And when packing just for a day trip to grandma's house, it looks like you're moving into grandma's house. We have to be prepared. You know, the simplest task, especially when they're little, go into the grocery store. It may take 5 times of you jumping in and out of your car to run back to the house and grab things that you forgot, the pacifier, the diapers, the wipes. We have to be prepared. We spend so much time preparing. Over the last few weeks, we've had some extra time at home with our family, and our son Asa just turned 4 last week, and I have really, really enjoyed this time with him. He's a joy to be around. He brings so much energy and love into our lives, and over the last few weeks at home with him, I've realized that I have a really incredible opportunity to prepare the way for him. I have an incredible opportunity to prepare the way for his future, to prepare the way for his faith. I have an incredible opportunity to prepare the way for my husband, for our relationship, our marriage, for our home and our future. And that's just within the 4 walls of our home. Outside of our home, I have an incredible opportunity to prepare the way for those around me, to prepare the way for my friends and family, my coworkers, and the people within my circle of influence. I have an incredible opportunity to prepare the way. Every day, everything that we do is preparing the way for those around us. It's impacting those around us. Romans 14, verse 7 says, "No one lives and dies to themselves." You're not in this alone. Your life is impacting those around you. Not only do we have the opportunity to impact and prepare the way for others, but we are preparing the way for our own lives, for our future spiritual health, for our future physical health, our future emotional health. We're preparing the way every day. What we do today will affect our tomorrow. There's a quote by Craig Lounsbrough, and it says, "Every tomorrow is an outcome of what I do today. And the beauty of it all is that today is happening all the time." We have an incredible opportunity to change our tomorrow, to change our future with what we do today. We're preparing the way. I've been thinking a lot about these opportunities, how I can prepare the way better for my family, for myself, for my community. And there's a story in the Bible about a man and his mom, and this man lived a pretty incredible life, and he prepared the way for us. And just coincidentally, he had a pretty incredible mom who prepared the way for himself. And you may be thinking that I'm going to talk about Jesus and his mother Mary, but Jesus was also the Son of God. And since today is Mother's Day, I thought that we wouldn't let him steal any of Mary's thunder. So I'm going to talk about a close relative of Jesus. His name is John the Baptist. And you may be familiar with John the Baptist, but you may not be familiar with his mom, Elizabeth. She was an incredible woman, and John was an incredible man. He did great things that we'll talk about. And since it's Mother's Day and we're talking about preparing the way, I thought it was a good question for us to ask, what kind of woman raised a man like John? What did she do to prepare his way? I think there's a lot that we can learn from their lives. And the book of Luke tells us about John and Elizabeth. It talks a lot about them. And so there's four key things that I want to pull out of their lives, out of this story, that I think will help us to be able to better prepare the way in our lives for ourselves and for those around us. In Luke chapter 1, it talks about Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, and it says that they were righteous in God's eyes. They were careful to obey his commandments. And in verse 7, it says that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And now they were both very old. The Bible sets it up for the story that's coming. Zechariah was a priest, and he was serving in the temple. And one day he was serving, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. It was the same angel who appeared to Mary, the angel Gabriel. And he appears to Zechariah, and we read about it. He says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and his name will be John." And he goes on to tell him he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He says he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He continues to say he'll persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. It says that he'll be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, the prophet of old, and that he will prepare the way for the arrival of Jesus. Now, that's a pretty incredible prophecy over his life. And, you know, over the years, as Nathan and I were trying to get pregnant, we had some prophecies over our lives and our family, what that would look like. And some of them were kind of crazy, like this prophecy, and they left Nathan and I in disbelief and laughing and wondering, like, what, God, is that true? There were some prophecies that we're really thankful didn't come to pass. One time this man told us that we would have 8 children that year. That was about 8 years ago, and I'm really glad that didn't come to pass. I think it was around the time when John and Kate plus 8 was really popular, and maybe he was confusing us, Nate and Kate plus 8. I don't know, but I'm thankful that prophecy didn't come to pass. There have been a lot of prophecies over our lives that weren't true. They weren't from God, and they left us in disbelief. And that's the reaction that Zechariah had, and it actually says that he said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in her years." Now, he was smart there. He didn't say she was very old, like the scripture says before that. But he did say she's well past her childbearing years. How can this happen? And what happens next is important. The angel says, now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until your child is born. The angel actually shut his mouth because of his disbelief. Now, how many women wish that would have happened to your husband while you were pregnant? Don't say anything if they're in the room with you. He shut his mouth because of his disbelief. Our words are powerful. And when we don't believe the word of the Lord and what he is declaring for our lives, when we speak that disbelief, it can make things bad. And so the angel actually shut his mouth so that he couldn't speak those words of disbelief. Now, Zechariah finishes his work at the temple and he goes back home to his wife, Elizabeth. And sure enough, several weeks later, Elizabeth is pregnant. And when she finds out that she's pregnant, her response is a little different than that of Zechariah's. And I love it. When she finds out she's pregnant, she says, "How kind the Lord is. He has been faithful to me." I love reading about Elizabeth. She was barren and she lived all of her life with no children, never having the opportunity, the gift of being able to give life to a child. But I love reading about Elizabeth because every time I read about her, it doesn't paint a picture of her weeping at the altar like it does for Hannah in the Bible. It doesn't paint a picture of her being resentful or jealous or envious of those, all the women around her who were having babies. No, it paints a picture of Elizabeth living a life of faithfulness to her God. It paints a picture of Elizabeth showing up at the temple and serving God regardless of her situation. I think it's no coincidence that her name actually means God is my satisfaction. See, Elizabeth was at a point in her life where she truly could say, regardless of my circumstance, God is my satisfaction. Regardless of whether I have a child or not, God is my satisfaction. He will satisfy my longing heart. She lived a life that was faithful. And that's the first thing that I want to point out about her life is that before there was a miraculous birth, she had miraculous faith. I think faith, sometimes we think of it as believing God for something to happen, believing to see something happen in our lives. And I think that God does give us faith to believe to see things come to pass, like healing. But I think there's also faith that requires us to be at a place where we completely trust in God and are satisfied in God regardless of the outcome. That kind of faith says, God, no matter what, no matter if I see the miracle or not, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be satisfied in you because you are my source. So whether the miracle comes or whether it doesn't, I'm going to be satisfied in you. I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to be joyful because I know that you are my source and you are my satisfaction. That's the kind of life that Elizabeth lived. And I think when we have that kind of faith, when we're faith-filled, it's easier for us to be faithful. And I think because of Elizabeth's faithfulness to God, he was faithful to her. It didn't happen when she was in her childbearing years, when she thought it would happen. It happened years later, but God was still faithful. And I think it was because she lived a life that was faithful to him. The birth of John was nothing short of a miracle. I think any birth is a miracle, but especially with John. Here's his mom. She's very old in age. She's been barren all these years, and she has this miraculous birth because of her miraculous faith. You know, as believers, we have all experienced a miraculous birth in Christ. The Bible says that when we put our faith in him, that we are born again. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are being made new in our lives. We have experienced a miraculous birth because we've had miraculous faith in a God that we can't see, but we know He's real. We place our faith in God. And when we do that, He is faithful in our lives. If we want to see the miraculous in our lives, we have to be full of faith and live a life that shows that faith in our God. The second thing I want to talk about is humility. Before John showed humility in his life, his mom Elizabeth showed humility. When Elizabeth was visited by Mary, Mary came to her home to tell her what the angel had shared with her, the news about Jesus. And she came to her home and Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the mother of my Savior would visit me?" She was humbled to be a part of what God is doing. We read about John as he's older in Luke chapter 3, and he's in the wilderness and he's prophesying, he's preaching, and he's leading people to repent and be baptized, and he's preparing them for the coming of Jesus. And at this point, there hadn't been a prophet in over 400 years. And so the people began to question, is John the Messiah? Is he the one that we've been waiting for? And I love this in Luke 3:16. He answers their questions by saying, "I baptize with water, but the one who is coming, he is greater than I am. So much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave." See, John was humble. He knew that his purpose was to prepare the way for Jesus. Colossians 3 verses 23 and 24 says, "Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you're doing it for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the master you are serving is Christ." See, when we change our mindset from working for others to working for God, it'll change our lives. When we start to think that this mundane, boring work that we're doing can actually be life-giving, can actually be an opportunity for us to prepare the way for Jesus to minister through us, it'll change your life. When we start to see those annoying customers as souls who are lost and broken and hurting and in need of hope and joy, and that we can prepare the way for that to happen for them, it'll change your life. You know, Pastor Nathan has said it before. We've got to change our attitude from "I've got to do this" to "I get to do this." And when we do that, it changes things from being about us to being about Jesus. It changes it to, "God, this is for you. This is about you." When we're preparing the way for Him to minister, it takes the pressure off of us and it puts it on God. You know, maybe you've been at home these last few weeks and your role has changed, and now you're teaching your children, helping them with their schoolwork, and you're stressed out. You're not getting a break. You're never getting to be off. Why don't you wake up tomorrow morning and before you start your day, why don't you pray and say, "God, this is for you. As I lead my children, as I lead my family, as I make dinner, as I help them with their schoolwork, God, it's not for me, but it's for you, because I'm preparing the way for them to have a better future." When you're at work this next week and you're sitting next to that coworker that gets on your nerves, maybe start thinking about their life and what they're facing right now, that divorce that they're going through, and that empty house that they're going home to, and they're feeling lonely and broken and depressed. And why don't you say a prayer and say, "God, help me to prepare the way for them today, because this is for you." When we change our outlook from "we're doing this for ourselves," or "we're doing this for a paycheck," "we're doing this because we have to," to "we get to do this because this is for you, Jesus. This is for your name, for your glory." When we change our outlook to an outlook of humility, where we're stepping out of the way and we're pointing to Jesus, it'll change your life. John led from a posture of humility, and it literally changed the world. He opened up the way so that Jesus could come. And that's our role too. We just prepare the way so that Jesus can minister and do the work. The next thing I want to talk about is that before John was brave, his mom Elizabeth was brave. You see, before John went into the wilderness and prophesied of the coming Savior, his mom, Elizabeth, was prophesying of who Jesus was. When Mary came to visit Elizabeth, it says that when Mary entered into Elizabeth's home and she began to speak, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to boldly prophesy over Mary. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear." Elizabeth knew who Jesus was. She knew who Mary was carrying, and she boldly declared that he was the Son of God. Elizabeth was also brave in declaring that her son's name would be John. You know, John was not a family name, and he shouldn't have been named John. About 8 days after he was born, the family and friends gathered around for his circumcision. I'm glad that we don't have that kind of celebration anymore when we do that. But they did, and they gathered around to see the new baby, and they began to ask, "What's his name? Is he going to be named Zechariah after his father?" And Elizabeth boldly declared, "No, his name is John." And the people were astonished. They exclaimed, "What? There's not even anybody in your family with the name John. You can't name him John." And they looked at Zechariah and they began to ask him, "Zechariah, is this true? What is his name? Are you really going to let him be named John?" And Zechariah was still mute at this point from the angel, and he motioned for them to bring him a tablet, and he began to write on the tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And the Bible says that when he wrote that, immediately he regained his ability to speak, and he began praising the Lord. There is power when we declare the word of the Lord over our children, over our lives, and over those around us. And that's what happened. Because of Elizabeth's boldness and bravery to speak the word that the angel had given them over John's life, because she was bold enough to say, "No, his name is John," because that's what the angel declared it would be, because she was bold enough, her husband's mouth was opened up again. He was healed. Because she was brave enough to speak it out. There is so much power when we speak the word of the Lord over our lives, over our children, over our families, over our situation. There is power that comes when we speak out. You know, when I've been putting Asa to bed at night lately after he's asleep, I just take a moment and I look over him, and sometimes I'll lay my hand on him and I declare the word of the Lord over him. I declare that he is a child of God. I declare that greater is he that is within him than he that is within the world. I declare that because of Christ Jesus, he is more than a conqueror. I declare health over his body. I declare good things from the word of the Lord over him. And there is power when we do that. There's power that is released when we speak the word of the Lord over our lives. I want to encourage you to start doing that. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your situation, over your family, because there's so much power that can come when we declare the word of the Lord over our lives. You know, if we don't declare that over our lives and over our children, somebody else will declare something over them. There's a lot of chatter in the world. There's a lot of voices coming into our lives, coming into our children's lives, that will tell them who they are, that will tell them who they're supposed to be. But there's one voice that's greater, and that's the voice of God. And we have an opportunity to prepare the way for them by speaking that voice louder than the other voices. She was brave, and she declared the word of the Lord over him. Not only was she brave in those areas, but she was brave to deliver John. She was barren all these years. This was her first child. She had to be brave to have this child. I remember when it came time for us to give birth to Asa, I was scared. I remember being in the delivery room and being in labor and looking up at Nathan and saying, "I can't do this." And I literally felt in my heart, "I can't do this. I'm not strong enough to do this." And Nathan looked back at me with all the confidence in the world, and he said, "Yes, you can." I think what he was really saying was, "Baby, you don't have a choice at this point. Asa is coming. You have to be brave." She was brave to do that. But not only was she brave to give birth to John, she was brave to raise him. He had a big prophecy over his life. She had some big expectations as a mom. There were some big things that were prophesied that he was going to do. Think about the pressure of that. I mean, it's hard enough being a parent right now. It's hard enough being a leader of anything. Think about the pressure that came with that prophecy over his life. She had to be brave to raise him. You know, I'm not a very brave person. I'm actually pretty scared. I'm scared of heights and deep water. I'm scared of sharks and snakes and spiders. I'm not a very brave person, but if I want Asa to be brave, I've got to be brave. If I want the people around me that I influence to be brave and to live a bold life, I've got to live that. I'm not brave, but if I allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through my life, He can make me brave. If I allow the Holy Spirit to make me brave, then I can all of a sudden do the things that God has called me to do. I can be brave because of the Holy Spirit's power working inside of my life. Maybe there's something in your life that God is calling you to be brave about, to step out in faith and be bold in an area that you don't feel equipped to do. I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit today, make me brave so that I can do what you're calling me to do. When we rely on the Holy Spirit to come and empower us, we can do what He's calling us to do. The Bible says that we'll do greater things than Jesus did when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and work and move in our lives. I want to encourage you today to be brave. If you want the people in your life to be brave and to live a bold life for Jesus, you've got to do it too. Let's be brave. Let's rely on the Holy Spirit to make us brave. The last thing I want to talk about today is before John realized who Jesus was, Elizabeth realized who Jesus was. Elizabeth said to Mary, "What an honor it is that the mother of my Savior would come and visit me." She knew Jesus. She knew her God. She was faithful to serve. The Bible says that Elizabeth and Zechariah had lived a life that was pleasing to God. In 1 verse 6 of Luke, it says they were righteous in God's eyes. They were careful to obey His commandments. They were faithful in their relationship to God. And because of their faithfulness in their relationship to God, they were able to prepare the way for John to be faithful in his relationship to God. John the Baptist had one purpose, one mission in life, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus. You know, that's why Upper Room Church exists, to prepare the way for Jesus. That's why these last few weeks we've changed up everything that we do as church to prepare the way for Jesus. That's why we're coming to you this morning in the comfort of your home, because we're just wanting to prepare the way for Jesus to minister to your heart and to do what He wants to do in you. We're preparing the way for Jesus. That's why when we gather together, we have a team of about 100 people that show up early and clean and set up chairs and do all kinds of things, stand outside in the heat and the rain, holding up parking signs. It's not because they get satisfaction out of it. It's because they're wanting to prepare the way for Jesus to minister to lives. That's why we had a team of people this past Sunday standing out along Pensacola Beach Boulevard, holding up signs of hope and love, sharing the love of Jesus so that they could help prepare the way for Jesus to do a work in people's heart, for Jesus to bring hope and joy and deliverance. It's about preparing the way. You know, as believers, that really should be our main focus, to prepare the way for Jesus. As I was preparing for this message, I asked myself that question, what am I doing to prepare the way for Jesus? I have to confess to you that I was convicted, because there have been so many times, not just these last few weeks, but in my normal day-to-day, that I'm so busy, I'm so preoccupied, that I don't do a good job of even preparing the way for Jesus in my own life. I don't take the time to prepare the way for Jesus to speak to me. And if I'm not taking the time for that to happen in my own life, then how can I expect to prepare the way for Jesus to speak in others' lives around me? We've got to take time to prepare the way for Jesus in our lives. We've got to take time to prepare the way for Jesus in the lives around us, to be intentional, to ask the Lord, God, how can I better prepare the way for you to minister in the lives around me? The people who are in your circle of influence, the people you work with, the people you live with. How can we better prepare the way for those around us? I want to read this passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, because I think this is what happens when our hearts and our habits collide. It says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're away on the journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." It's our responsibility to prepare the way. We can't just rely on the church to prepare the way for our children's faith, our family's faith. It's our job. We've got to be the ones talking about it. We've got to be the ones preparing the way. It's something we've got to do every day. It's something that we have to be intentional about, preparing the way. You know, John the Baptist prepared the way for the arrival of Jesus. And then Jesus came and he had one mission in his life and he walked that out, and that was to prepare the way for you and me. To prepare the way for you and me to have a life that's eternal and everlasting. John 3:16 says that God loved you and me so much that he sent his one and only Son to come and live and die on this earth, so that you and I wouldn't perish, but that we would have eternal life. Jesus prepared the way. You know, I don't want to miss an opportunity today for you to recognize who Jesus is in your life. Maybe today you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know this man that we're talking about, the things that he's done, the way that he loves you. I want to give you an opportunity to recognize him today for who he is. I want to give you an opportunity to be bold and brave and place your faith in a God that you can't see but loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his only Son so that you could live. And not just so that you could live life alone and depressed, fearful. But he came so that you could live a life that is abundant, a life that is filled with joy and peace and hope, hope of tomorrow, hope of a better future, hope of an eternal home with God. Jesus came to prepare the way. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to see him for who he is and to put your bold faith in him so that he can help you prepare the way and walk out his calling on your life every day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word today. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's working right now in every heart that's listening. I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to prepare the way so that we could have life that is filled with joy and hope and peace. I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit so that we don't have to walk alone, but that we have a helper who comes and gives us the strength that we need to walk through every season and every circumstance of life, that we're never alone. I thank you that you're here with us today and that even right now you're strengthening us so that we can do what you've called us to do, so that we can prepare the way for a better tomorrow, a better family, a better community. I thank you that you are so gracious to us, that you love us so much. And I pray, God, that you would give us what we need to do what you've called us to do. I pray that you would help us to put our faith in you every day, to walk out humbly what you've called us to do, to live brave and bold, and to always point people back to you, to prepare the way for you to do the work. I pray right now, God, that you're working in the hearts of every person listening. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. And I pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision today to recognize Jesus for who he is and put your faith in him, would you tell us? You can connect with us. If you've got a prayer request, let us know so that we can pray with you. We love you so much. We're praying for you and we're excited for the opportunity to be able to gather together again soon. So if you'll pay attention to our social media and all of our website information, we'll be letting you know when that will happen again. But until then, we're praying for you. We love you. We're here for you and we can't wait to see you again.
Hey everyone, thanks again for joining us online today. Be sure to follow the links provided to get connected. We look forward to seeing you soon. We love you and are praying for you this week. And oh, happy Mother's Day.